The bliss of the abyss, it's here now.
Welcome to another episode of The Bliss of the Abyss, fighting freedom in the unexplored and the unexpected. Except for today, which is, of course, Freedom Day. Well, 2 days after Freedom Day, here we are in the UK. Freedom Day. Wow. Finally, the lifting of all restrictions. No masks, no social distancing, no limits on gathering. Except there are still masks required in a number of locations and limits on the number of people in places, including gatherings, and of course, please keep your distance at all times. But apart from that, Freedom Day! It's Freedom Day! We have just freedom, free! We can walk, we can dance, we can sing, we can kiss, we can hug. Except please, when you do hug, maintain the correct procedure, pointing your face away from the person you are hugging, and also please do not dance with any unknown people, and remember also keep your distance. Oh, and don't forget to wear your mask as well. But it's Freedom Day, it's freedom, yeah. That's right, we are officially liberated now from under the Orwellian boot of existence that has been the last 18 months. Just a complete meltdown of all that we know from society. Into lockdown, pandemic life, and here we are squirting out the other side. Ooh, don't use that imagery. Well, this is The Bliss of the Abyss, and my name is Robin Newmark-Jones, although I do go by the alias Ruskin Denmark at times. Why? Look back at other episodes for snippets of this tale. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener, hello, are you okay? Do you need to sit down? If you're a middle-aged listener, all right, mate, how you doing? If you're a child, please find your entertainment elsewhere, as in 3 seconds I shall swear. 3, 2, 1... Fuck. There we go. Told you. I'm a man of my word, if nothing else. So, here we are. It is a solo episode. I have not done a solo episode for a while. I've been on a guest run, haven't I? I think. Hold on. Here's some water. Just putting it into the ice. It is, of course, the hottest day in the UK ever, ever, ever. The UK issued their first ever weather warning, as we are now at 85 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, that's right. That's right, UK listeners. I just did Fahrenheit. Huh? How are you going to deal with that? Get over it. Fahrenheit. It's just as legitimate as Celsius, isn't it? Get over it. In fact, who invented it first? That and other answers coming up. But yeah, I thought, hey, it's been a while since I've done a solo episode. I've had a lot of fascinating guests on. They've tickled my fancies and tickled my balls. And so now I'd rather tickle my own balls, is what I thought. So here I am, tickling my balls. So the first thing that usually happens is, in a solo episode, is I plan all kinds of things out. Look, it's in my document, all those things I've planned. And then I go off the rails and I see who invented which temperature system first, Fahrenheit or Celsius, which came first, the chicken or the egg, which came first, the fell from hot Celsius. So, Fahrenheit, 1724. The Fahrenheit scale is a temperature scale based on one proposed in 1724 by the physicist Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit. I like the way he just proposed it. He was like, guys, this? I mean, look, we know it's hot, but it's actually 85 me, because I am Fahrenheit. Except he would be German. Yeah? Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit? Fahrenheit, a German physicist, yeah. How about we name temperature after me? Terrible accent, Robert. Snap, snap. Whoops, clip the audio. Speaking of German accents, though, my good friend and friend of the show, Nils Hennesteer, sent me this fucking insane message that I have to play you. I don't think you'll mind. There's nothing sort of what's the word? Salubrious? No, insalubrious. There is nothing insalubrious in it account. But it's very strange. And you, I mean, you know, he's a doctor of philosophy. He educates people. He's also clearly utterly insane. But I digress. So German coming up. But for the meantime, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit. How about there are 85s of me? That's how he was measuring temperature. Celsius, meanwhile, 1744. 20 years later. And who was it? Was it like... was it Daniel Gabriel Celsius? Was he like, I've changed my name and I've changed the way I'm doing it. No more 80s, now we're going to be at 30s. Woohoo! Now look, for everyone who's like, hey, Fahrenheit is dumb. Yeah, I know my UK listeners are going to be saying that. And I know my US listeners are going to be like, Celsius, what the fuck's that? Although they won't be saying it in that accent. Celsius, oh my God, what the fuck? Celsius, ugh. Like, what even is that? That's what they'll be doing. I know you're both saying that, so shut up. Enough with your tribalism, okay? They're both just ways of measuring the temperature, and actually it's not hard to change between the two, okay? 90 is 30, 70 is 20, okay? That's all you need. Celsius 100 is boiling, it's 212 for Fahrenheit. I mean, look, do I need to carry on? 0 degrees is 30. Okay, enough. 32. Just to be clear that I do know. And obviously Kelvin. Look, Kelvin is like that person you invited to the party. And I've got a story about parties today because I had my first party since we're allowed. We're now allowed parties, don't you know? Because it's Freedom Day! Freedom! We can have parties, we can have our friends, we can dance, we can play loud music, we can sing, we can hug. Except please do not do this at any time, at any way, in any day, at any form, and wear your mask at all time. Because it's Freedom Day! It's freedom! Yeah, Kelvin's like that guy that you invite to a party who is way too sweaty and way too familiar with people who he doesn't actually know. Kelvin, oh, fucking, sorry, yeah, sorry, no, he's my mate, he doesn't mean it. Can you take your finger out of that? Jesus, it's not yours, Kelvin, come over here, come, mate. So, no, ignore him, don't worry, nah, he's fine, he's a little, whoop. Kelvin.
Yeah.
What was the condition I said you could come to the party under?
Yeah.
Kelvin, answer my question. What was the condition I said you could come to the party under?
Behave.
Behave, that's right. And what are you doing over there?
Sticking my finger in a...
oh! Is that behaving?
Yes.
Nah. Kelvin, is that behaving?
No.
Well, exactly. No, it's not. Now go back there and apologise to that young gentleman. All right, Kelvin.
Take care of yourself, you little shit.
Slap him on the bum and off he goes. Yes, Kelvin. So, Kelvin's got... look, Kelvin can bugger off, all right? I'm not into Kelvin. However, Daniel Gabriel DG Fahrenheit, 1724, he's got this brilliant scale. And then 18 years later... Anders Celsius. Now, hold on. Anders sounds Danish, maybe? Celsius developed a second system. Second, of temperature measurement, and a much more intuitive one at that. Ooh, shade thrown, Americans, because here's the good thing about Celsius. 0 degrees, freezing. 100 degrees, boiling. That's a good system. That's a good system. Now, that's where my American friends, you annoy me. Don't say Celsius is shit just because you don't understand it. Say it's shit for a good reason. And there are good reasons to say why Celsius is shit. But this is the benefit Celsius has over Fahrenheit. I'm going to come out and say it. 0, freezing. 100, boiling. What a scale. That is what scale should do. Cut back. That's my new thing. However... Celsius is a bit less rock and roll. Yeah?
And what?
0 to 100, yes, square. Lame. And what's a hot day in Celsius? What, 45?
Oh, God, it's so hot today. It's 45.
You mean less than half? Fahrenheit, meanwhile.
Oh, 100 degree day. Oh, my God.
And it actually is a 100 degree day. 100 degree day in Celsius would be literally the world boiling around you. And I don't mean that figuratively. I mean it literally. Water coming out of the taps, boiling at all times. Water in the air, boiling at all times. So Fahrenheit has that advantage, you know. It's a hot day. How hot was it? It was 110. It was a scorcher. Oh, my God. The pavement was melting. That sounds hot. Now, at what temperature does water boil? 212. Why? What about freezing? 32. Why? So that is not good. That's the downside there of Fahrenheit. Also, another upside of Celsius is you get into the negatives when it's really, really cold and snowing. And of course, that should be a negative, right? Look, if you are interested, please become a patron so you can hear 15 more minutes of Tempcast, my exclusive Patreon cast podcast about temperatures. Kelvin, what are you doing with that finger? Stop it. Anders Celsius. Yeah, I'm from Denmark. That is why I speak like this. He was Swedish. Damn you, Anders. Clever boy. Well done. Now, why do they always name it after themselves? I guess I would. Wouldn't you? How hot is it? Oh, it's 212 Denmarks. I couldn't decide whether to use my real name or my fake name. Anyway, yeah, if you are interested in temperatures, then, you know, fuck off. we'll talk about Kelvin cast another time, though. It's so hot in here. It must be 32 degrees. Which system did he use? We shall never know, because it's Freedom Day! It's Freedom Day! But please do not be free. Yes, we are experiencing a heat wave in the UK. It's very, very hot. I have some frosted water to keep me cool, keep me keel. And I've also re-fucked my knee. Apologies for the French. Which, as keen fans of the show will know. Why do I talk like that, huh? Just be serious. Just be serious. As friends of the show will know, that's what forced me into a hiatus for a couple of weeks in January there, when we released the best ofs. So if you go back in the feed to the January episodes, you'll get some classics from the early days. And that was because I tore my meniscus. And the other day, whilst affixing a painting to a wall using nothing but hammer and nail, I did something bad. Landed wobbly. And so yesterday I spent 6.5 hours in an NHS hospital. But it was free. But my God, did I have to wait. I mean, it was on the hottest day of the year so far, and it was pretty crazy in there. I saw two fights, one involving security, and luckily I brought my laptop. Ha ha ha. Can't get me. But yeah, hopefully nothing serious, just a sprain. Just worrying that it's on the same knee, isn't it? You know, your brain does that, doesn't it? I'm pretty sure this is normal, but you tell me, listener. When you hurt yourself, your brain immediately considers, well, it could be the worst possibility. And then you also think it could also be the least serious. And the reality is it will be somewhere in the middle, and I am going to tend towards it being probably worse. And that's just, I don't know if that's just me or if that's a general thing. I think that's like a bit of caution in the seed of that thinking, of like, rather than When I was young, unlike the 59-year-old I am today, 59, almost the best age, 10 years, you got it. I remember being at a party, speaking of parties, when I was but a wee slip of a lad, 19 maybe, university, and it was a house party out round our house. Oh, the house that Nils and I shared. Wow. Good. There we go. That clears that up. And we were having it large, weren't we? You know, that kind of party. Hey, how's it going? That kind of party. Hey, how are you? That kind of party. That kind of party. And I'd sprained my ankle the day before playing football. Oh, there's a theme. He thinks he's an athlete, but he's not. And I'd sprained my ankle. So I'd been resting it all day. You know, that's what it meant to do. Rice. Rest. Ice. Compression. Elevation. So I'd been lying all bed. I'd been lying all bed in day. I'd been lying in bed all day. Resting, elevating, compressing, and icing my ankle, and watching South Park, as I recall. Just endless, endless South Park. That's all you need in your life at a certain age and for a certain amount of time. Although I'm loving the new Rick and Morty season. It's so freaking funny. It's funny. If you don't watch Rick and Morty, do you remember when I used to do recommendations like some kind of moron? Well, here I am again, recommending the most popular cartoon, at least on Reddit. Watch Rick and Morty. It's really funny. It's really funny. Anyway, what was I talking about? So, I'm at this party. After having rested all day. With a sprained ankle. I'm 19. I'm very excited. It's a very lit party. And I have... I've had a few drinks. I've had a lot of drinks. I'm very drunk, in fact, at this point. And so, trying to impress... I don't even think it was a girl. I think it was a mate. So it's even lamer. So I'm trying to impress a friend. They're going, like, what are you doing? What are you walking around? Like, there's nothing. I thought you had a really bad injury. I mean, you know, you said it was swollen and sprained. And I was like, yeah. But the funny thing is, I can't feel it at all. It doesn't hurt. Watch. Whereupon I proceed to hop up and down, maybe 4 or 5 times, just on that ankle. See? Doesn't even hurt. It was later. Fast forward to the next morning. I wake up and my foot is the size of a watermelon. Why is it always the size of a melon? We always compare swollen things to melons. I'll let your brain do the talking there, sonny boy. Yeah, so anyway, the point of the story is, I think I used to think when you hurt yourself, I used to veer towards the less worried side. If there's a 50% line between it's cancer or it's nothing, I used to be more towards the it's nothing, and now I'm slightly more towards the it's cancer. Not all that way. I'm not a hypochondriac, but I am like, well, chances are it's actually probably something. It's not going to be the worst thing, but it's probably something. And so I went to the hospital on the hottest day of the year and waited around for about 4 hours. No, that doesn't make sense because I was there for 6.5 hours. But there was other things. It wasn't all waiting. You know, I was seen. I was shuttled between departments. And I'm probably fine. Carry on. But other than that, I have been living a fine life. It has been enjoyable. Good response to the last episode. Thank you for your kind words. Keep them coming. They keep me going. Speaking of parties, I think I teased this earlier. I have had a party at my house since the lifting of the lockdown. A very good friend of mine had his stag do, to which I was attending. I was an attendee, rather. And it was paintball, so I am covered in bruises. I am just littered in bruises. This one has got yellow, blue, red, purple, and hurts like hell. And it's huge. So I have these massive targets all over my body. from where I shot the shit out of my friends. And they did the same to me. Me and my friends went paintballing, and oh my gosh. But it was kind of a crazy day. We had somebody, a member of the stag, throw a hissy fit and leave very early because he didn't like getting shot. I mean, come on. We were there at paintball. He was like, I don't like this anymore. And chucked his... You know, and he'd paid for all of the upgrades. He'd got the gun upgrade, he'd got the gloves, he'd got the extra paintballs, he'd got the smoke bombs, the flashbangs, the works. Cleaned himself out. And then after our first game, refused to carry on and said he didn't like getting shot. Didn't even wait around, just stormed off. And then when we went back after a few more games, he was gone. Not only that, but we heard a story that when he'd come back, he had accosted one of the teens who worked there, accusing them of stealing his bag. When he just, it was right there. He's like, I'm going to call the police. You've stolen my bag. I'm going to call the police. And the guy was like, if you keep touching me like that, mate, I'm going to call the police on you. That was how he spoke. Yeah, really weird. And then he got a cab home. By himself. Just bye. See ya. And was no more upon the stag. And we also lost one more to a bollock injury. And the person who shot him in the balls knew it was him and felt a bit bad. And this guy, he was just a mess. He just couldn't stand up. He was just, oh, God. Oh, he couldn't play on. And he had to leave. But other than that, it was a successful stag party. And then afterwards, we went to Brixton to an establishment for a party, which was mental. Because there were all these other stag do's and hen do's, which is bachelor and bachelorette parties, all in one area. There was like quite a big venue, and they just decided this will be the area we just put those parties. There they go. Go. Hang out there and cause absolute chaos. So it was insane, as you can imagine. People passing around funnels. Freedom Day! Freedom Day! Except please do not pass around funnels. Please do not dance with each other. Do not get up on the table. Do not even boogie. Please sit down. In fact, I would prefer that because it's Freedom Day! And then after that, we came back to my house to continue the party, seeing as I was based in Brixton. And, you know, I had mixed feelings about that. I was like, on the one hand, I'm not going to have to crawl back from some godforsaken end of the city to my home at some godforsaken hour. Wired and tired. Instead, I'll be at my home. Great, I can go straight to bed. Except, of course, it was about 12 lads. 12 lads. Which does require quite a lot of cleanup and will leave quite a lot of mess. If you've ever met 12 lads, imagine absolute lads, then take it up a notch. If you've ever met 12 of those, that amount of mess. That box of mess. It was that. Except... I can't believe the story I'm about to tell you. Except at one point... there was some UK garage on. Which, if you don't know what it sounds like, is like this. Boom-ch, boom-boom-ch, boom-ch, 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 boom-ch. Bound for the reload. Mr. DJ, give me that reload. It's like that. There was that going on and some freestyle rapping. Okay, now, say what you like about freestyle rapping, but this was pretty white. That's all I will say. So, there was that. And at one point, I'd been out in the garden, not in the rapping group, in case you're wondering. What, freestyle rapping? In my living room to some average garage? I'll be outside. God, it's so hot in here. I was like, oh, God, it sounds really rowdy in there. What the hell is going on? You know, it was like, oh, bleh, bleh, bah, and like, boom, tch, boom, tch, boom, tch, you know, that kind of, just absolute chaos. I'm like, what's going on? So I opened the door And some bright spark has gone to the kitchen, opened the drawer, got a load of knives and handed them out. And everyone is holding knives and taking turns to rap and making stabbing motions into the party. And then I couldn't believe that at this party, the exact words, "Right, come on, lads, give me the knives," came out of my mouth. Caitlin texted me. She was like, "My party's kind of wrapping up. Should I come home?" I was like, "Do not come home. Do not pause go. Do not collect till 100. No, you know what? Maybe just stay at your thing a bit longer. Maybe don't ever come home again. It's at lads. All right, lads. Right. Put the knives down. Come on. That's it. No more knives. Okay. All right. Knives down. There was just a knife on the floor. A big, and I'm not just talking butter knives. These were like big kitchen knives. Sharp. Guys, what is going on? Put your dicks and your knives in your pants and hope for the best. Oh. Put your dick and your knives in your pants and hope for the best. Anyway, that was a crazy party. So tonight I'm going to go see some live comedy for the first time since the lockdown. And I mean live, yes, not Zoom comedy. I mean live comedy. And hopefully there'll be no masks because it's freedom, etc. So hopefully that's just, you know, going to be fun. Just going to be watching people tell jokes on stage. I have no desire to do it myself just yet. That has not come back, actually, interestingly. That desire... curious. Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it's really good. You know? Why hasn't the desire come back? I think because it's the same as the stage. It's because I don't quite believe it's real yet. I'm going to have to see it with my own eyes. You know, I went to see Ian McKellen in Hamlet in Windsor a few weeks ago. Basically on the first weekend that the theatres opened. And, you know, I mean, apart from the fact that it's an 85-year-old man playing what should be a 20-year-old, it was okay. Yeah. But the theatrical experience itself was shit. It was exactly like I worried it was going to be. Masks, social distancing, muted interaction between performer and audience. You know, it's exactly why it doesn't work with all these measures in place, because it's just the transfer of energy between audience and performer cannot exist through mask and social distancing. Anyway, that's my own gripe. Anyway, maybe that's why it's not come back. But I'm going to go and watch performers. Going to go and watch performers perform comedy. Because, you know, I'm a go-giver, not a go-getter. Yeah? I'm a go-giver, not a go-getter. Come and watch me take this letter to the better MCs. Because I want to be the first to see how to breathe easy on stage, not in a cage. Because I want it to be totemic while we're coming out of this pandemic. Yeah. Go giver, not a go getter. Go getter. So we shall see, eh? We shall see. Apropos of absolutely nothing, that's how Nils started his comment to me. Apropos of absolutely nothing, in her heart of hearts. So funny.
Hi, Robert Neumark. Jones, I'm just calling to congratulate you on your wonderful podcast, which is now a year old, and to tell you that is a real towering achievement, and that you should be very proud of having done this. To say that I'm loving everything you're doing. The people in Vietnam are obviously loving everything that you're doing. Not as much as perhaps 9 other podcasts in that country, but cheeky a fuck. Lot. And just keep it up. I love the way you have your radio show now too. And that show is is quite good also, and play some strange music, but I'm not here to criticize. I'm just letting you know it's not entirely to my taste, but otherwise I really can't say a bad thing about the show.
Yeah, that's right, because I played your music on there.
And
huh?
You've created a real family atmosphere, is how I would put it on the show. It's, you know, it's almost like I'm watching Peppa Pig or something, where it's a real sense of the family is there, and they're all together, and they're all pulling together.
So, look, I'm just going to pause it for a second. That's a minute 38 of utter insanity, I think we'll all agree, already. And that's, I mean, he doesn't sound like that at all. That is not how Neil sounds. So this is just coming out of nowhere. Very nice, very nice. I think it'll be very nice. But completely mad, completely mad. And sounds a lot like Werner Herzog, which I appreciate. I'm a big Werner fan. Oh, you thought that was weird.
Except without the realization, because of course Peppa, she has this, her pink dress and her brother George, but, and she seems happy, but deep down in her heart of hearts, I've always found this quite a strange expression in English, the heart of hearts, because if your heart has a heart in it, then you need to go and see a doctor. And if you're not going to see a doctor, then you have a problem, my friend, and not just a heart in your heart, but a problem with your Gehirn, with your brain. And we really need to see a doctor about that too, but we are now stuck in an infinite regress of reasons to see a doctor that you will never respond to, because you didn't respond to the first reason. And I think that's a real problem for you. But anyway, I think that Peppa, in her heart of hearts, she knows that deep down, she is just a two-dimensional Zeichentrick animated character. Indeed. And this fills her with a sense of self-loathing and a sense as though she is staring into the abyss at any given moment, where she doesn't occupy herself with trivialities. And I think that this is Peppa's downfall. And every time she gets used to create the Peppa Pig world or to sell pieces of junk to children in their Happy Meals or whatever, that is, she recognizes in those moments that what makes them so awful is that they are appropriate, because she is just an object to be used in satisfying the trivial and fleeting desires of young children and their corporate overlords. And that is really why she has these tiny, beady, piggy eyes, into which you can really see the heart of darkness in her world. Because she knows, once she has made this introspective realization about her own pig nature, and of course she's a pig, so she lacks that inner light, that inner dignity that comes with being a rational being, not to get too Kantian here, and she's just a pig, she's just an object to be used, in addition to being two-dimensional and only semi-real. And she knows that this is just a recipe for disaster for her, because in her heart of hearts, and she hasn't had that checked out, she has not gone to Dr. Brown Bear to check out the heart of hearts, even though it would be useful for us to obtain this second heart, because of course you can use a pig's heart in the body of a human being. And she is being, in addition to being the semi-real object, come pig creature, She's also very selfish because she won't share the heart within her heart, which maybe a small child could use to survive, I don't know, some kind of operation or something that has meaning, where the world around Pepper is truly meaningless at this point. Once she has made this realization about her own nature in her heart of hearts, she comes to see that the world is a meaningless pit of despair, and that the only way of going on is to continue churning out these annoying television shows with her increasingly fake voice, because of course the actress is getting older and older, but she still sounds like a 5-year-old pig with her heart inside her heart. So congratulations on your show. Und ja, hoffentlich, hopefully we hear many more years of your voice and can enjoy the interviews and hey, even the music from time to time.
He's got a PhD. Weird fact, I actually I taught the voice of Peppa Pig. She was a client of mine for a brief time, and they actually recently replaced the actress because she did get too old. So I was teaching the replacement about the subjunctive clause. Wow, so interesting. I know. So yeah, she's not gotten older. She's, if anything, she's gotten younger. But they did keep her around for, I would say, a uncomfortable length of time. I think she was like 18 by the time she was like, I'm not going to be Peppa Pig anymore. And the world was like, that's probably fair. But yeah, the accent is really good. And it reminds me of, like, did any of you ever see Russell Crowe in Robin Hood? Because it's quite possibly the worst accent I have ever seen on film. And there's this hilarious video. It's not video, it's audio, but it's, I found it on YouTube, where he storms out of an interview on the BBC because they basically insinuate, the person basically insinuates that his accent is shit. But not in so many words. He's sort of more like, oh, so what were you going for there? Interesting. Interesting choices, Russell. Interesting choices. Just wondering, what was your thought process going in here? You know, was it, oh, maybe Robin Hood's a bit Irish. He's like, Irish? What the fuck are you talking about, mate? Irish? You fucking cunt. Well, hold on. What does he actually say? He doesn't say that. I mean, he kind of does. What does he say?
You talk about where he comes from, the location of him, the accent you've given him, there are hints to me of Irish, but what were you thinking of in those terms?
You've got dead ears, mate. You seriously got dead ears if you think that's an Irish accent.
You got dead ears, mate.
you know, the reality break for him is that he has been estranged in our...
You got dead ears, mate. Yeah? He has... Bollocks.
The south of France to Palestine and back. He's seen the great empires of his time, but he's been surrounded by other Englishmen.
Just remember the way he said that, right? March to Palestine and back.
And depending on which historian you want to believe, you know, there's always been a big argument between whether his birthplace is Nottingham, whether his birthplace is Barnsdale. And we just took the attitude that whatever you understood about whatever you think you know about Robin Hood, it was a previously understandable mistake. So we take some of other people's narrative ideas and we twist them around. So the name Locksley, for example, has become synonymous with Robin Hood, but we show you why.
God, he's boring, isn't he? Russell, your accent sucked. Okay, that's all. It sucked. Get over it. You didn't put in the effort, did you?
In that character, that's kind of ridiculous, but it's your show.
So you're going for... Well, no, it's on. You're going for Northern English.
No, I was going for an Italian. Yeah, missed it.
So you're going for Northern English? Such a shit-eating question. I love it. I absolutely love it. But you're actually going for Northern English.
Oh, interesting. It's very interesting.
No, I was going for Italian, mate, you fat. He's notorious for fighting, though, isn't he? Russell Crowe. He'll have you. He's tasty. One, two. Psh, psh, psh. And I don't mean in that way, tasty. So, anyway, remember how he said from France to Palestine? I was like, yeah, okay. I remember that movie has that speech where he says France, Palestine. So, Northern English. So, that's what he's going for. But remember the way he said it. Because I'm going to play you now the speech where he says that. Let's see how different it is from his accent and how similar it is to a northern accent, and is it slightly Irish? Wow, video will play after this ad. Really?
Really? Really, YouTube? Really? All that? All that? All that? All that?
Subject owes him. Without loyalty, there is no kingdom. There is nothing.
That's Oscar Isaac doing quite a good...
If you must. If you're trying to build for the future, you must set your foundation strong. The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who demands loyalty but offers nothing in return. I have marched from France to Palestine and back. And I know.
No, I know.
Only failure. You build a country like you build a cathedral from the ground up. Empower every man, and you will gain strength.
Well, who could object to such reasonable words?
If your majesty were to offer justice.
Justice?
Justice in the form of a charter of liberties.
If your majesty were to offer justice, would you offer me justice, your majesty?
See, it is Irish. He's right.
Now, if your majesty were to offer me justice, what would you say? Would you say yes or would you say fuck off?
And it's not Northern either. I spent 6 years in Sheffield. If you're trying to build for the future, you must set your foundation strong. That's what it should be like. Right? The laws of this land enslave people to its king. I've marched from France to Palestine and back, and I know tyranny lies only in failure. And I know. See, everyone knows that because you know nothing, Jon Snow. Everyone knows that's how you say it now, Russell. He walks out. He walks out of the interview and he's like, piss off. Shove it up your ass. What a lovely, charming man, eh? Speaking of language, something else that I learned is this week. Where there have been terrible floods in Germany and Belgium. Hundreds of people dead. It's absolutely awful. But again, shout out to Nils. Nils, the secret producer of this podcast. The town worst hit by the floods is called Schlud, which means blame or guilt. And there's something hauntingly poetic about it. But isn't that awful? And when is the planet going to do something about this? I mean, the planet is doing something. It's reacting to the human activity, the Anthropocene. Anyway, shout out to Germany and Belgium. I don't know how many listeners I've got over there, but I've got some in Vietnam, god damn it. And I've hopefully got some everywhere. I will see you next time. I've got a few exciting things lined up, says every person ever, as a lie to keep you interested. But I do. I actually do. I think about it. I try. I come up with ideas. So I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep trying. Going to keep coming up with ideas because it's Freedom Day. So in the meantime, my absolute love and undying devotion to every one of you beautiful listeners, and I will see you next time for another Bliss of the Abyss.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed it, please give us 5 stars and consider becoming a subscriber and maybe even supporting us on Patreon. Really, really, really helps me continue making this show. If you haven't enjoyed it, then you can fuck off. Many, many thanks to Nils Hennis-Steer for the amazing music and to Dave Fox for the cool artwork. Please keep coming back every week for more Bliss of the Abyss.
Message one.